This is the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, best-selling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Objections, Sales EQ, and Inked, and I'm here to help you open more doors, close bigger deals, and rock your commission check.
All right, next up on the show is Tristan Adams from Flowery Branch, Georgia. Another Georgia boy, stomping grounds. All right, we're from Augusta, Georgia, down here, God's country, up near Lake Lanier. What's going on?
Yeah, so when I first started in the business, it was very cold call every single day, like super religious. And it almost feels like sacrilegious that I don't have to cold call. That transition made me feel like emotionally weird because it was like, oh, I'm supposed to be cold calling every single day. But now I just have such a big database of people that now I can just call on the people I already know. I wanted to know, like, did you go through that similar experience where now you're not talking to cold prospects as much? Obviously, I still do. And then what does your prospecting look like now?
So tell me what you sell.
Real estate.
Okay, real estate. Residential or commercial?
Residential and multifamily commercial.
Okay. And when you say you've got a big database.
My database is completely cold. So it's from people that I've followed up with for 2.5 years and just put them in a database. If I were to call on these people, they know my name is Tristan Adams. And they know I sell real estate. And that's like the basis of my database. Now it's like the people I've talked to, you know, 90 days ago are now ready, as well as the people a year ago are also now ready, as well as 2 years ago. So everyone's like at the same time. So the point of me cold calling or door knocking like I used to, that's not the same, you know?
What's the downside of saying I don't have to cold call anymore?
Complacency. The pipeline starts to shrink. Also, the people that I mentor also see that now I don't cold call anymore. That's probably the biggest thing, you know?
Okay. Now, guilt is a form of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is the uncomfortable feeling, the painful feeling, when you're trying to hold two opposing values in your heart at the same time. Just to illustrate this to you, have you ever made a promise?
Yeah.
You ever broken a promise?
I'm sure I have, yes, sir.
Did it make you feel bad when you broke the promise?
Of course.
Okay, good. So we know you're not a sociopath, right? So yes, you felt something. And that feeling is cognitive dissonance, right? You felt bad because you can't be a person who keeps promises and breaks promises at the same time. So right now you feel bad because you're not cold calling as much. That's why you're on the call with me, because you're looking for me to let you off the hook. I'm just teasing you, okay? Because your heart's telling you this isn't right. And your heart is right, because your database, that database you built through all that cold calling, is getting worse every single day because people move, people change, things change, circumstances change. Your pipelines can get depleted. The people that you are trying to mentor, they see you doing that. And so inside your heart knows that it's not a good move to say, I don't have to cold call anymore. What has changed is a transition. So you started off rolling a boulder up a mountain. Every day you're pounding the phone, you're talking to people, you're getting told no, you're out knocking on doors, you're dropping flyers, you're doing everything you can. And you build out that group of people who know you. You build a newsletter, your own Facebook and social media and Instagram, and doing all the things that people in real estate do. And then you get to a point where there's a level of familiarity with you and the community, with your database, and it gets a lot easier, right? So because you did all that work, selling seems easier. And that's how you get to a point where you start deluding yourself into believing that you can quit cold calling. And just trust me on this, you cannot be delusional and successful in sales at the same time. Things have changed for you. I mean, like all the work you did, hallelujah, paid off, as it should have. So now you have a little bit of a different world. Rather than having to spend 8 hours a day going out and, you know, beating the bushes to try to find something, now you can spend an hour a day doing it. And you're going to have a different type of prospecting. You need to have a certain amount of cold, like people that you don't know, that you're building familiarity with and you're bringing into your database, just people you have a meaningful conversation with. There needs to be a certain number of cold that comes in that keeps you sharp, right? That demonstrates to the people around you that you're not going to stop doing something that's painful and allows you to maintain your database. And then you've got a certain amount of nurturing that you're going to do with the existing database. Like you said, I can reach in now if I need something and pull it out. It keeps that database strong. That makes sure that people know you, that you're top of mind. And that, as you look at your pipeline, allows you to keep the coverage on your pipeline that you need to hit your income goals. And that's going to come from that existing database, because if you really think about in your world, cold calling every once in a while, you'll stumble on a listing. But most of the time, your cold calling is just getting to know people, right? You're building relationships with people. You're spreading your influence into the community. And you asked me what my cold calling looks like, and it does look like that. I spent 20 years building this business. Go back to 2016. I'm sitting in an office in my house on the phone, banging it, calling all day long, right? And I spent 3 years building this business. You probably felt like this at some point during real estate, when I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking, where am I going to eat tomorrow? Like, what am I going to do? What if I fail? I'm not getting anywhere. I'm sure you had days when you thought, I am digging a hole and the earth isn't moving. I'm just shoveling and nothing's coming out of it. And I felt like that for a long time. 20 years hence, it's pretty sustainable. I mean, my database is massive. You know, there's a million names in our database. We have companies that like us and respect us and know how good we are. We have customers that come back over and over and over again. And yet we still cold call. I was cold calling yesterday. I went on a sales call yesterday. And then on my way back, I was cold calling. And the reason I was is to stay sharp. But am I banging out 100 cold calls a day anymore? No. If I'm banging out cold calls, I'm 10 to 20 cold calls. And I'm super targeted on what I'm going after. But I have salespeople on my team that are banging out 100. And I expect them to, because they need to build the same thing you did, like build their pipeline, build the relationships. I've got a senior level salesperson who quit cold calling. She might be listening. So if you are listening, I'm talking about you, but kind of quit doing it. And what happened? Her pipeline coverage shrunk. So at one point, rather than having $1 million in her pipe, she had $500,000 in a pipe, at one point lower than that. But every deal in the pipeline was a previous customer or someone that knows us very, very well. There was nothing new. So we've gone back to, and she's done a great job of this, cold calling every day. And my advice to her was, you don't need to spend 8 hours on the phone. If you got up in the morning and you had your list ready and you banged out 25 dials in 30 minutes, that's good enough. You just need to keep fresh coming in. We want to milk the database that we have. That makes sense. But I need fresh. And all of a sudden, her pipeline coverage is coming up. So she's gone from like 450,000 to 600,000. And I expect in a month or so, we'll get up to $1 million. And she can close them like crazy. She's probably closer like you are, but it makes a difference. And I saw her today and she had a smile on her face and she's happy and she feels good, because there's endorphins that come from making those cold calls and meeting somebody new. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's just something that you get from that. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's my feeling about that, about the, hey, I don't have the cold call anymore. You're going to shift the burden of cold calling, but you should never stop going out and meeting new people.
Outbound 2026 is the biggest, baddest conference in sales, and it is hitting Las Vegas from November 9th through the 12th. Join an elite group of just 400 sales leaders and top performers at the stunning Red Rock Casino Resort and Spa off Strip. This isn't a seminar. This is a highly intense rock show for your sales career. So you want to go secure your spot now, because tickets are selling out at outboundconference.com. That's outboundconference.com, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Now, does it change anything at all that I have found that maybe the most efficient use of my time for cold prospecting is either door knocking or open houses? Is that the same in your world as like cold calling?
Especially in real estate, you know, if you're doing an open house someplace and then you go canvas that neighborhood, that's cold calling to me, especially if you're like on their Ring doorbells and they're recording you. And like, so now you get that infomercial. No, same thing. Or if you were going to open houses and meeting people, or you were going to chamber events and meeting people, your business is a face-to-face relational business. Banging out the phone and cold calling people, probably the only time that would work for you is if you were calling homeowners that had a house on contract and it just came off contract and you were calling to try to get it back on. That would make sense to me from a cold calling standpoint. If there was some data point that you could find on the commercial side that would tell you that, hey, these are multi-unit owners that would like to unload, that would make sense. But for the most part, yeah, cold calling for you is getting out in your community, talking with people. It's being present. It's a focus on how many new people am I going to meet every week that I can convert into a meaningful conversation and then put them in my database. And that's how I would track it if I were you.
That was like the guilt shift that I had, was like, it's so easy to control like eating the frog in the beginning of the morning. But then when you transition to door knocking, it's most effective towards the end of the day. And so then it's a little bit harder to control the end of the day, because sometimes you have appointments that then take that slot. But then door knocking will get you on average, or get me like more leads per time I'm doing it than cold calling throughout the entire week.
Well, that's what I would do. What you have to say is, okay, so if you have an appointment, wherever your appointment is, you make the decision that you're going to knock five doors. And then while you're knocking the five doors, you'll go, I can do one more. I could do two more. That's how you don't let like an appointment get into a slot where you don't go cold call. If you didn't have an appointment, you go out there and knock 25 doors, right? But if you have an appointment, just say, if I get an appointment in a neighborhood or wherever I am, I'm going to go knock 5 doors around this appointment before I leave. And you make that pact with yourself. And
no, that's fire. I never thought about that.
And that's easy enough. And that's what I do. Like if I'm walking to a door, when I walk out, I'm looking to the left, looking to the right, looking behind me. I'm going to call on all those doors. You know, I've got that one more call thing always in my head. So I'll go, all right, you can do one more. And I'll go walk in one more.
Yeah, I love it.
Cool. Great question. I appreciate it. I know a lot of people have the same question as well. So
are you going to be coming to the Outbound conference?
No clue about it.
You have no clue?
Didn't even know the thing. I listened to the show semi-regularly. So,
but the Outbound conference is in Las Vegas. It's going to be at the Red Rock. And it's the biggest rock show in sales. It's November 9th through the 13th. One day is a VIP day. VIP tickets are almost gone. And then there's 2 days of sales conference that are focused on breaking through buyer resistance and 1 day leadership conference focused solely on leaders. And there's golf and there's gambling and there's sales. Go to outboundconference.com, outboundconference.com, best speakers in the world. And I promise you that it's an event like none other. So if you're really a sales junkie and you want to get out of Flowery Branch for a while, we may even run into each other at the airport in Atlanta on our way to Las Vegas.
Fire. I like that. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jed.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on and great question.
Momentum can be one of the greatest gifts in sales, and it's also one of the most dangerous. Because at some point during your career, the top of the funnel activity becomes less necessary to keep the engine running. But you have to remember, as soon as you stop fueling that engine, you only have so much gas left in the reserves. You can't wait until you're running on empty to start prospecting again. Tristan's success is one of the biggest traps for sales professionals who become victim to the number one reason for failure in sales, an empty pipeline. So, when you're ready to go home and when you have enough opportunities to make your year, make sure you pick up the phone one more time and make one more call. I'm Jeb Blunt Jr., and I'll catch you next time on the Sales Gravy Podcast.